As I mentioned to you over the last few weeks, Bobby Stewart, our church council chair, has said to me on several occasions that being a Christian is hard work. That it's hard to live out the Christian life in our daily experience. And that's because the quality of life we're being called into is patterned on Jesus himself. And that is what it means to be a Christian, to imitate Jesus, to let his character in life become our character in life too. What makes this so hard is that as Christians, we believe that Jesus is God become a human being. Jesus lives the human life that God would live if God were a human being, if God were one of us. And that's going to be a very high standard of life for us to follow. The series that we're working out in February at Trillium is called From Some to All. I've got a little stepladder there. There, you've seen it. It's built on the preeminent core value we have on our core values. The first one, offer friendship and fellowship to all. And this value reflects our understanding of how Jesus lived in the world as a human being. How he came to offer God's friendship and fellowship to all people. Not a few, not some or many, but all. And it's the all that makes this so hard. If we only had to offer friendship and fellowship to a few or even some, we might be able to pull it off, but the all part is what makes it so difficult for every one of us here. As I say, I made this staircase of friendship and fellowship, and I've used it. And at the very bottom, if you notice, there's offer friendship and fellowship to no one, right? No one. You'd be surprised how many people are trying to get through life at the lowest step. It's not possible, but you'd be surprised how many people come to the door to the church who have no one, no one. If we go up a step, we get to the chosen ones. The chosen ones I think of as people that we have chosen to be friends with because we probably share some deep familiarity and some deep bonds of sensibilities with. We agree with them on so many things in life, and so we've chosen a very small circle of chosen ones that we live in this life with. But if we go up another step, we get to the few, and the few are those people who we have some common connection with, and we share some basic sensibilities with, even if we don't agree with them on everything. But as we keep climbing up the steps to the some, and then the most and many, we find that circle of friendship expanding farther and farther and farther. And it's because this circle of friendship gets bigger and bigger as we step up that staircase of friendship and fellowship that becomes progressively harder and harder for us. It becomes harder and harder for us to do. Why? Because we have to engage and welcome people into our lives who are farther and farther removed from our own sensibilities about how life is supposed to work. And that's hard to do, to keep extending ourselves further and further into the human family. Birds of a feather flock together, it said. Probably heard that before. That instinct is built right in us to congregate with people who are like us. And I think in our culture today, in spite of social media that makes us more available to each other, people are living more and more in their social and ideological silos than ever before. You can go on, you can watch your point of view on TV or listen to it on the radio or online and not be introduced to any other way of thinking if you want to. You can listen to Fox News or MSNBC or CBC or Rebel News, whatever you want. You could live in your own little silo today in a way that you never could have done 50 years ago. And I think our ability to engage people who are different from us is atrophying. And I think church is one of the few places where people from a variety of points of view come together to one place. I think it's a very special place, church, today. A couple of weeks ago, I showed you a picture of a MAGA hat and asked you if you could offer friendship and fellowship to someone who you met on the street who was wearing one of those red caps. And the response in the congregation was pretty stark. No, couldn't do that. Sorry, nope, not possible, can't do it, no. And I understand. But when we respond that way, we are no longer in the world of all anymore, are we? We've moved down the ladder. You can put that back up for a sec there. Liz, yeah, we've gone from the all down, what, maybe many, most, some, few? Where are we? I'm not sure. But I know we're not at the all, and we're probably not even at the many. And I understand, it's hard to embrace the all in life. It's hard to do. But tell me, why can't you do it? Why can't you do it? Why can't you offer friendship and fellowship to someone you met walking down the street with a mega cap? Why can't you do it? Or what holds you back? There must be something that holds you back, some kind of obstacle that gets in the way of you offering friendship and fellowship to someone who is wearing some kind of adornment that offends you or alienates you. Jesus, in a famous passage from the Sermon on the Mount, and I've got slides for this, Liz, in Matthew's gospel said this. He said, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Do you think that someone wearing one of those red mega caps is included in Jesus' teaching today? What do you think? Is he included in that? These words that Jesus offered to us are about climbing the staircase of friendship and fellowship. All the way up to all the way to the crown at the very top. Sorry, keep referring back to you. Liz, you might as well leave it up for a bit. I could modify Jesus' words, and I put this on a slide too, so you can maybe move over to that, Liz. If you love those who agree with you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you hang out only with people who affirm your political or social views, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfect. Be perfect in extending the hospitality of God's love and friendship to all people. All people. And I think this is a big challenge for us. It's a challenge to extend our friendship and fellowship to others. It's hard to do that, you know, because we're still embraced with a mentality that's sitting at the bottom here. We're in the bottom rungs of the staircase. We're living down in the world of the few, or maybe the chosen ones, if we're lucky at the some. We're living in that lowercase mentality that limits our friendships to people who think and act and look like us. But if you bring this mentality as you go up the staircase of friendship and fellowship, it won't work. It can't work. If you offer friendship and fellowship to only people who embrace your sensibilities in life, then you're not doing very much, and you're not going to go very far with that staircase, and you're certainly not doing anything more than anyone else today is doing, because that's the way of the world. And you don't have to go to church to learn this way of life, something that we know very well already. Part of going higher on the friendship and fellowship staircase is that we have to decouple our willingness to offer friendship and fellowship to others from our sensibilities. We have to find a way to separate our willingness to offer friendship and fellowship to someone from our ideas about how we imagine they should look or act or think. We have to tease them apart from each other. And that's not an easy thing to do in life. That man or woman walking down the street with the MAGA cap on, understand, you don't have to affirm what the MAGA cap represents in order to offer that person friendship and fellowship. In fact, if affirmation is the condition upon which you are willing to extend yourself in friendship and fellowship to others, if that's the condition you bring, then you're still living at the bottom part of the friendship and fellowship staircase. When you offer friendship and fellowship to another person, you're not necessarily agreeing or even excusing what that other person is up to in life, how they think, how they act or look. And that's the big shift that Jesus is calling us to. And I can't emphasize this enough. If you follow Jesus, your friendship and fellowship with someone is no longer based on you having to affirm how they look, how they act, how they think in life, what they're about in life. And that's hard to do for us. Because we think that if we embrace a person in friendship, we have to embrace what they stand for always. But no, you don't. You don't have to. Sometimes you have to love people beyond how they think, act, or look. In fact, that's the whole point of this exercise that Jesus has called to as his church. Extend love beyond our sensibilities about how other people are supposed to behave in life. Jesus in Mark 2 calls a tax collector named Levi to be a disciple. Tax collectors are considered by the Jewish people to be traitors and scumbags. The lowest of the low, at the very bottom of the social hierarchy. In fact, they were outcasts, shunned by the community. No one in the community offered them or extended them friendship and fellowship in any way at all. And there's Jesus inviting one of them to be his disciples. What do you make of that?
Yeah.
And afterwards, Jesus is hanging out with Levi and his buddies, right? Other tax collectors and sinners. Sinner is a catchword for lowlifes and reprobates, people who don't meet the expectations of other people. He's hanging out with them. He's sharing a meal with them. The intimacy of sharing a meal with them. Jesus is offering them his friendship and fellowship without conditions. And understand, Jesus is not condoning what they're up to. I'm sure he didn't approve of what Levi was about. And his buddies, what they were doing, I'm sure Jesus didn't affirm what they were doing at all. He doesn't make excuses for what they're about, but nonetheless, he still extends himself in offering friendship and fellowship to them. He's not going to withhold his friendship and fellowship based on the fact that he can't affirm certain elements of their life. And that's the key. There is Jesus amongst them. Why is he doing it? There are lots of things I struggle with in life when it comes to other people. I don't think I'm unique that way. There's lots of things you probably struggle with too. I have strong sensibilities about what I think is right and wrong. I have clear ideas about how I think other people should live. You know, for instance, and don't take it personally, because I think of you, Sarah, don't take it personally, but I struggle with tattoos, right? I'm not a big fan of tattoos. I don't like how they look. I don't like what they convey. But the question Jesus confronts me with is, am I going to withhold my friendship and fellowship from another human being because I don't like something about their choices? I don't, in this case, approve of their tattoos. Understand, if I offer someone at Trillium who has tattoos my friendship and fellowship, does that mean my sensibilities about tattoos have changed at all? Well, not necessarily. I may still struggle along with my understanding of what tattoos are. It just means I've elevated something of above and beyond my sensibilities into that relationship with that other person. I've gone beyond my sensibilities. Something of greater significance has come into my relationship with that person beyond my expectations or sensibilities about how I think they should act or behave in life. If you offer friendship and fellowship to someone you meet on the street wearing a mega cap or something else that violates your sensibilities in life, it doesn't require you to affirm mega or whatever it might be. It means that you've elevated something of greater significance into your relationship with them than your sensibilities. Now, Jesus took quite a bit of flack for hanging out with those the society considered beyond redemption. Because tax collectors, they were scumbags. They were beyond God's redemption. And he was under a lot of scrutiny by the authorities, by the religious authorities, by what he was doing with them, by hanging out with them. They noticed this. That's why a bunch of Pharisees, high-ranking Pharisees, came to his disciples, and they started questioning them about why Jesus was hanging out with tax collectors and sinners of other types, why Jesus would dare eat with tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus heard about this, and he told them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor. It's the ill who need a doctor. It's not the righteous, those without blemish that he had come to call. It was the sinners, those people who had fallen out of the grace and fellowship of their community that Jesus had called back into relationship with him. And when you and I advance up the friendship and fellowship staircase and begin to draw close to Jesus by offering friendship and fellowship to our version of Levi and his buddies, to people who fall outside our sensibilities about how life should function. People we might even consider irredeemable. When we begin to move up that staircase of friendship and fellowship with others, something powerful starts to take shape. Something really powerful, super powerful. We begin to see people on the other side of our sensibilities. We begin to see people the way God sees them. We begin to see people the way God sees them. Offer friendship and fellowship to all is our commitment to begin to see people as God sees them, not as we do. We begin to treat people the way that God would treat them if God were a human being. When you offer friendship and fellowship to others with no preconditions, God is extending his love through you to that person. This is the kingdom of God that Jesus proclaimed. When people offer you friendship and fellowship with no preconditions, you are now experiencing the effect and reality of the kingdom of God come into your life. And there is nothing more powerful than to live in fellowship with another person who is not burdening you with their preconditions about how they think you should live. See, this goes both ways. This goes both ways. You're living in the kingdom of love when people can give and receive friendship and fellowship beyond human sensibility. And this gets us back to the question, what is Jesus up to when he's hanging out with Levi and his buddies? Why is he doing this? Why is he doing this? At great cost to himself. And it goes back to that quote that I had used a few weeks back, and it looks like this, and I got it on the slide there. It says this: it's hard to convince people that a God they can't see loves them when a church they can see doesn't even like them. The mission of Jesus is to go out into the world and convince people that the God they cannot see loves them. That's his mission. And he uses his own example as perfect proof of this. The one who God sends into the world, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lord, likes them. That's why he's hanging out with Levi and his buddies. He's extending the mission of God into their lives by calling them into that love relationship with their Creator. Jesus likes these people enough to offer them his friendship and fellowship with no preconditions. And that might seem trite to some, but it's actually the most powerful thing one person could ever offer another. It's life-changing. And I'm thinking, how about we be the church that convinces people that a God they cannot see loves them because a church they can see likes them? How about we be that church? Right? The church where people can come and find out about God's love because the church themselves likes them without any preconditions, no expectations of conforming. We just like them because we like them. That's what God would do if he were a human being. And that's what we're called to do if we follow Jesus.